Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com. You can check out their entire inventory. Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, Kia, pre-owned inventory. You can shop, take a good look. And guess what? You can then buy from the comfort of your own home, all at sunburymotors.com. Don't forget, the service department also open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Great to have you with us on the show today. The governor's not on today, is he?
No, we're full and clear today.
Because, I mean, I saw the ratings. I mean, when he was on, we spiked. It kind of made me worry about the show a little bit. Wait a minute. It's like a flat line before, and then the governor's on way up, then now I'm back on down. I was confused. Completely confused. All right. And I mailed in all my ballots, too, which is great. You're going to do very well.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. You're going to do terrific. I got all sorts of things I voted for you for. It's wonderful.
Good to know.
And you can run for any party you want.
Okay.
Yeah. Neil Coulon is going to join us on the show today, this being Tuesday. Always great to have him on the show. Rafa Nadal says that tennis should just scrap the 2020 season and prepare for 21. To him, the next big event to him is the Australian Open. I mean, Wimbledon's not going to happen. The U.S. Open is still on the docket. The French Open is still on the docket. But no Wimbledon. And they're showing all sorts of highlights from the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization. There are three former State College Spikes playing in the Korean League. Nick Kingham, who was with the Pirates for a pretty good period of time. He was the former pitcher of the year for the Spikes. Adrian Sampson, who had a really good year here in State College. He had an ERA of 2.95 and then was up with Seattle and with Texas in his major league career. And a center fielder by the name of Mel Rojas Jr., that I will be honest with you, I thought it disappeared. And he is in the KBO. So there's something, I mean, local ties.
How about that?
Oh, what do you think I do in my downtime? Do you think I just spend my time idly waiting for the next 309 to show up? Come on, man. I'm over here working.
So you were up in the wee hours watching that KBO baseball.
Watch none of it. But I have the ability to research.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I took some time to research who's in this league. And in my research, I found a bunch of guys I'd never heard of in my entire life, will never hear of again. And I went, hey, wait, I know that guy personally. So there you go. Yeah, just a little local tie to get you going with all this. Can I talk? I want to talk just for a minute about the minor league thing. Unless Gabe Sinacropi has more information than I do, which he might, I would ask Gabe, hey, get a hold of me or call the show if you have more information. This is the way I understand it right now. Nothing's been settled. Nothing. They met nearly 2 weeks ago. What's today, Tuesday? So they met on that Wednesday 2 weeks ago, the 22nd of April. There were a lot of stories saying that the minor leagues were going to acquiesce and go, okay, hey, look, all right, fine. You know, we'll go with 120. There were a lot of stories like that. To the point where then minor league baseball had to put out another statement about, like, whoa, pump the brakes here. Nothing's been decided. And I'm trying to find the exact statement here, but there's, but they had to go out and they had to put out a statement saying, yo, whoa, whoa, here it is, I found it. And the statement was read as follows. Recent articles on the negotiations between MILB and Major League Baseball are largely inaccurate. There have been no agreements on contraction or any other issues. MILB looks forward to continuing the good faith negotiations with MLB tomorrow, meaning that Wednesday, as we work toward an agreement that ensures the future of professional baseball throughout the United States and Canada. Well, nothing, there have been no rumors that even have even come out of that meeting 2 weeks ago. I mean, have you heard anybody comment in any way, shape, or form? Are there any stories that have been written about it? In fact, the last story I saw written about this was actually the Cincinnati Enquirer. And it was interesting in reading the Cincinnati Enquirer that the Reds are really concerned that if there was some sort of contraction, what it would do to the development in their system. Because they, 2 years ago, just added Greenville. And the reason they added Greenville, in no uncertain terms, was because they were trying to do a better job at developing players, so they thought they needed another minor league team. Well, that goes against everything they're talking about in this negotiation. Completely against it. And that's what's so interesting about this. Is that you got a team like the Cincinnati Reds, which thought so highly about player development, they added a minor league team. Now, the next part. There have been several organizations that have... There have been a couple of media organizations that have put out the list of the 42 teams that are proposed to be cut. And I can tell you in no uncertain terms, that list is not accurate. So this is, I think Baseball America's done a great job of covering this. But what's interesting is that when this got started, minor league baseball did a great job with the public and with politicians. And they had really, in February, had turned the tide on this. They had turned the tide on it. And to the point where I think a lot of people were going to be in pretty good shape when this was all said and done. And then, obviously, the pandemic hit. Well, the pandemic has hit, obviously, financially across the board. It's hurting Major League Baseball as well as all professional sports. It's hurting college sports financially. And obviously, minor league baseball does not sit there with a lavish TV contract. They rely on the gate for their existence. Now, the question may be, you may lose some minor league teams just because they just can't make it anymore. But what's happened is that Major League Baseball has attempted, obviously, to take the pandemic and use it to their advantage in this situation. That's what at least seems on the surface. I want to be fair about this. That's why I use the word seems. And that's not how good leadership works. You don't sit there and take advantage of situations. You do what's in the best interest of as many people as possible, including yourself. And and if you're Major League Baseball, you can't be penny wise, pound foolish in this thing for a couple reasons. Number one, if the model now in Major League Baseball is to develop players, like I mentioned, the Cincinnati Reds, stay away from high-priced free agents and try to home-grow your team, you need a minor league system. Now, I can't speak for Williamsport, which has a long list of players that have gone through there, but I can speak directly about the spikes in terms of the number of players in the last 14 seasons that have made it to the majors. They've had 60 of them. Man, that's better than four per season. That doesn't sound like a waste of time to me. And I'm watching the playoffs last year. I'm watching Tommy Edman out there running around. I'm watching Harrison Bader out there running around. Right? The year before, I watched Jordan Hicks in a relief role. Austin Gomber, I see him in the playoffs last year with St. Louis. Those are all players that played here. Which then brings me to the next part. Major League Baseball has a marketing problem. Attendance has been good, but it slid back just a little bit. So I don't want to be completely unfair to Major League Baseball. But what is the area where they're worried in Major League Baseball when it comes to attendance? The area they're worried about are 18 to 34-year-olds. And we've had Tony Knopp on this show many times. And Tony's talked about many times on the show the 18 to 34-year-old. And again, Tony, you know, hey, Tony's got 10 million tickets that he moves. And the they're more interested, based on what his tickets are telling him, in MLS, soccer. That's where young people are going. The price is pretty good. The matches last, you know, it's a 90-minute match, but I think the whole thing lasts about 100 to 110 minutes, stem to stern. And that's it. So the baseball's not like that. Now, as someone who loves and is passionate about the sport of baseball, doesn't bother me sitting there for 4 hours watching a game. Now, would I prefer it to be 245, 240, where it's got a little pace to it? Yeah, but I don't mind. Younger person, 18 to 34, well, you know, that's why MLS is so popular with them. How do you get young people involved in the sport? You do it at a grassroots level. And this is where the penny-wise, pound-foolish comes in. I don't think they've considered the marketing of this. When you go to a Williamsport Crosscutters game, or you go to a State College Spikes game, what do I see walking into the ballpark or from my perch in the ballpark? I see families, mom, dad, kids at games. After the game, kids run the bases. It wasn't older adults running the bases, it's kids running the bases. Well, how many of those kids finally go to mom and dad and say, hey, you know, after going to a Cutters game, hey, let's go to a, well, I'd like to go to a Phillies game sometime. Or after a Spikes game, hey, you know, I know the Spikes are a St. Louis Cardinals affiliate, so you're not walking out of the ballpark saying, hey, let's go to St. Louis. But you have people, you know, you have young kids walking out of the ballpark saying to their parents, hey, I wouldn't mind if I went to a Pirates game. You can afford to go to a minor league game. You can afford to take your family to a minor league game. You can afford to feed your family at a minor league game. Going to a major league game with the parking, with the food, with the tickets and everything becomes a far more expensive proposition. So going to a couple a year is probably a big deal, whereas a minor league game, you may be able to go to 8, 10, 12 a year. And it does enough to keep that young fan interested where then they want to go see a major league game. And once they go to a major league game and they walk into the park and they see all that green grass out there in Philadelphia, they see all that green grass out there in Pittsburgh, they see that warehouse and all that green grass out in Baltimore. Boy, I'll tell you, it doesn't take much to fall in love with the game at that point. So we'll see. Nothing has been decided. Negotiations are continuing. The list is not accurate. Some parts, I mean, there's some teams on the list that are absolutely, that I'm sure that are absolutely accurate, but there are others that are not. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by SunburyMotors.com. Go online right now. Check out the full line. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, pre-owned inventory. Shop, and you can buy right online at SunburyMotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Go to sunburymotors.com and check out their inventory of Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, pre-owned inventory. All at Sunbury Motors. Pick out what you like. And then buy online from the comfort of your own home. I don't want you to be picturing the suit at home right now. A pair of shorts. T-shirt. Working. Is that the image we want today? Or do you want them in a jacket and tie, buttoned down, going to businesses? By the way, I think Denny pointed out Aaron Altera is there. I did see Aaron Altera is there, but he didn't play for State College, so that's why I didn't mention him. That's okay, Denny. I was going with guys I actually knew. I don't know him at all. You know, let's see. I'm going to go back 3 months. Ryan Fagan wrote this story in Sporting News. 20 things wrong with baseball. Oh, no. I just got a text from you-know-who.
Oh, boy.
Check out the Chutter Practice on WKOK's Facebook. I'm a little busy right now. Who else is in the building right now, Matt?
I think it's just myself and Mark Stevens.
Oh, dude. Tell Mark to check it out. All right, so and he can then report back what he saw. Okay, now this article was written, by the way, before the pandemic. I want to point that out. It was written on February 6th. So here are 20 things that he says are wrong with baseball in 2020. Number one, nobody's going to like the three batter minimum rule. And that is a new rule this year. If you come out of the bullpen, a relief pitcher must either face a minimum of three batters or finish the inning. Okay? That's going to be... I look at that one and go, I don't know about that. It's kind of like how I feel about the pass interference rule, which, by the way, goes bye-bye in the NFL this year. The sign-stealing scandals aren't done. Look, everywhere the Astros go this year, they're going to get hit hard. The Red Sox decided it was good business to trade Mookie Betts. No, that's actually, and he's right, it's bad for baseball. You have a premier franchise with tons of money behind it. I mean, who do you think owns Liverpool Soccer and owns Fenway Roush Racing? The Red Sox do. John Henry. They traded Betts? They should be the ones out there re-signing him, but they dealt him. Now, they may get him back because he's only with the Dodgers for a year. The collective bargaining agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Association expires after the 2021 season, and there are issues, plural. That's not good. If Major League Baseball's approach, this is what Ryan writes, in Major League Baseball's approach to its discussions with minor league baseball is any peek into the future, this is not going to be fun for baseball fans. There's lots of money available, very little agreement on how to split up that money. Now, again, this was written before the pandemic, so the money's a little different right now. Service time debate, though, is not going away. Chris Bryant's service time grievance was denied. The Cubs kept him in the minors to start the 2015 season, calling him up on April 17th. That meant that Bryant was able to get 171 days of Major League service in 2015. Guess what? You know what the magic number is to be eligible for free agency in 2020? If he played 172 days. Yeah, I've talked about that issue many times, that little game you play. I mean, are you trying to win if you take a player that probably can help you and you hold him out for 3 weeks? Is that a franchise trying? I thought that was the object of the game. Number six, and again, this is before the pandemic, minor league players are still, as a group, wildly underpaid. That's true. And remember, minor league players do not get paid during spring training, by the way. They do get a per diem for the month and a half they're in Florida or Arizona. Okay? And major league teams do pay the salaries of their minor league players. The minor league owners do not. Okay? Speaking of minor league contraction, the idea of ripping affiliated minor league baseball away from 42 communities is just a horrible public relations move, regardless of the bottom line reasons for that thinking. Major League Baseball might technically win if 42 franchises are cut, or maybe just 15 or 30 or whatever the number it winds up being, but MLB has already lost this battle in the public eye. It's a horrible look. It could have been avoided. What's the deal with baseballs? A mind-boggling of a number of home runs were hit in 2019. 6,676. 671 more than the record. How many did Aaron Altherr hit? Just asking. Even if MLB's explanations are correct, seam variance and decreased drag, they sound fishy enough. It's Ryan Fagan's article. There are too many teams not trying to win in 2020. It's the equivalent of starring Ryan Finley as your quarterback and getting away with it. That's how you end up with Joe Burrow. In Boston, the Red Sox aren't the only ones that are pressing the reset button in the 2020 campaign. The Orioles haven't been competitive in several seasons. The Tigers and Royals don't even care which team finishes last of the Central. Cleveland traded Corey Kluber this offseason. There are whispers they want to trade Francisco Lindor as well. The Mariners won't sniff 500. The Marlins aren't trying. The Pirates are preparing to bottom out. The Giants are gritting out their tough spot and the Rockies have somehow managed to anger their best player less than a year after giving him lots of money. Quote, it's exhausting. This, I agree with this one wholeheartedly. Try selling the sport on TV. It's not that baseball announcers, especially national ones, have to be rah-rah cheerleaders for the sport. But really, is it so hard to believe and to have a positive approach to commenting on a game? Because the parade of back-in-my-day stories just don't add anything constructive to the conversation. It's not helpful. It's fine to add historical perspective to something, right? But sell the game. And you know how you sell the game? In all honesty, Matt, you sell the game when you're sitting in the broadcast booth because you love the game. Right? I think, you know, anybody who listens to me do a Penn State football game, can't you tell it that I love the sport of football and I love Penn State? When I'm doing Penn State basketball, can't you tell I love the sport of basketball? Love it. And love Penn State. And can you tell when I'm doing a Spikes game that I love the sport of baseball and I love doing the Spikes? These are the kind of jobs where it's not just going out there and you punch in and do your deal for 3 or 4 hours, whatever. I think you to do this job right. I mean, you listen to Scott Fransky, he loves baseball. L.A. loves baseball. Greg Brown of the Pirates loves baseball. Loves it. It's not a job to them. They love doing it. Billy Hillgrove loves doing football and basketball, and he loves Pitt, and he loves the Steelers. Merrill loves the Eagles. Merrill loves football, and he loves the Eagles. Can't you tell in the 4 hours he's on every Sunday in the fall? I mean, it comes right through the radio. You can't do this job unless you love the job and love, not just love the job, but love the sport. Love your city. Love your team. The whole thing. It's like the whole thing where you go in, you can't wait to be there and tell everybody how great the game is that night. How great the sport is that night. How great baseball is. How great football is, how great basketball is. Yeah. There's too much of, well, I just tell it like it is. Well, telling it like it is actually you just telling everybody what you think it is. There's no difference. There's no difference. You're just telling everybody what you think it is. It's not telling it like it is. It's telling everybody what you think it is. Right? I enjoy listening to somebody who's just really into what's going on. Now, we're fortunate on Eagle 107, which is going to carry the Phillies this year. And then you hear Doug do Bucknell. I mean, you can tell Doug loves football and he loves Bucknell.
I think that's pretty easy to figure out.
He loves basketball and he loves Bucknell. But that's what makes Doug so good.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
No, I agree.
So, I mean, and you don't go into the booth saying, I'm going to sell this today to everybody. I'm going to sell baseball today. I'm going to sell State College Spikes baseball today. I'm going to sell Penn State football today. I'm going to sell Penn State basketball today. You don't go in there. You just naturally feel that way about it. You just naturally feel that way about it. And when things don't go right, you're not thrilled with it, but you're a professional about it. You have to be a professional about it, but you have to walk in with the passion for doing it. It can't be a punch-in, punch-out job. Can't be.
One thing I'll say to that, Steve. Now, I'm not one to criticize broadcasters because I've been in there. I've been in their shoes all the time, and I know exactly doing a game, especially doing a game on TV. You try not to say too much, but you try not to make it boring. I feel like there's a lot of TV broadcasters that I think as the year goes on, you can tell that I don't want to say that they're bored by it because I don't think they are, but it's they're kind of like going through the motions almost. Where you can tell at the beginning of the year the energy's there because it's opening day and it's opening month, whatever. End of the year, same thing. But then it's like those middle months where I think it's sometimes you can tell who really loves the game. And you can tell people are just kind of going through. Like a guy like Greg Brown for the Pirates.
Yeah,
he's a guy, TV or radio, he's going to bring that same energy. I don't necessarily see that with a guy like Joe Block.
Right. I understand it. I understand that.
I think just on the TV side, radio, I think the energy's there 24/7, no matter what team you listen to, and especially if you mentioned like Scott Fransky or John Sterling with the Yankees or Greg Brown.
Or Tommy
whatever.
McCarthy. I think Tommy does a great job. I think, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
I just think you have to be passionate about it. On the national scale, sometimes some of the national games, for example, where like, okay, you're in a different city, you got to learn two teams. And I've done enough neutral broadcasts in my lifetime. Hey, everybody, it's Michigan against Illinois. Hi, everybody, it's Indiana taking on Michigan State. I've done those games. You actually spend a lot of your time thinking, am I talking enough about the other team? And I think that takes away sometimes from the game. But, you know, you do have to think that way. Let's see. Number 11, he dreads injuries that will keep the best players off the field. I think everybody does that. Spring training batting practice hats this year aren't good. Mike Trout will probably miss the playoffs again. Number 14, still too many issues with missed calls. True. Playoff games start way too late. True.
Yes.
The overall cost of attending a game is still prohibitive. True.
Especially in the big markets where you're trying to sell those big teams. Yankee Stadium's not filled anymore. They claim they get the sellouts for like the Red Sox series or the Subway series. Citi Field, Citizens Bank Park in some occasions, Yankee Stadium, even Fenway Park. Well, they don't fill up because it's too expensive.
This goes back to what I was talking about minor league baseball. You can take your family to minor league baseball.
Exactly.
That's how you get the young person interested in the game who then says to mom or dad, hey, by the way, I'd like to go to a Phillies game. This is I had a lot of fun tonight. Can we go to a Pirates game sometime? That's how you market to get 18 to 34-year-olds in by getting them in a minor league ballpark when they're 5 to 15.
And, of course, it's intimate.
Yes, very
But it's
so.
Always going to be that way, but that's how you do it, but then MLB's got to do a better way of keeping those fans in.
Yep.
And part of the problem is, Steve, is you go back to all those teams you listed, like the San Francisco Giants, the Pirates, the Marlins. Those are teams that are suffering because there has never been a salary cap in baseball. I've always been a firm believer that because baseball hasn't had a salary cap, it's been no even playing field. So if you want to go to a great ballpark like the Pirates, like PNC Park, you would go to the Marlins, all the stuff they have there, people aren't showing up because they're not winning. As much as I criticize Marlin fans, that's the only benefit of the doubt I'll give him is because the franchise isn't trying to win.
Right.
It's not investing in the right things. It's investing in putting up this magnificent ballpark, but it's not investing in winning. You got to invest in the product to get people. That's what puts butts in the seats. Phillies Citizens Bank Park's a great example. The big Phillies run, which we're airing on Eagle 107, 45,000 sell out. Awesome atmosphere. That's what gets people sold on the baseball. The way Yankee Stadium used to be, that's what gets people sold into baseball. When you're not winning like the Phillies haven't been now, nobody's there, there's no jazz, there's no pizzazz.
Right.
And until baseball gets a full salary cap to make things a little bit more even for those teams to stay competitive and not have to worry about trying to fish for minor leaguers to go work through the system and get up, you're not going to get butts in seats.
If you want to see a prolonged strike in Major League Baseball, you put that issue on the table, because I can tell you right now, the Major League Baseball Players Association is never going to agree to that.
Well, I know, but that's the only problem that's going to keep holding baseball back. I know it's easier said than done. You're 100% correct, but that's how I see it.
Yeah. thought it was an interesting article, even though obviously it's 3 months old, so this was written like right before spring training began. But I thought it was interesting because still some of those problems have not disappeared. I mean, some of those problems have not disappeared. All right. We'll take a break. Neil Coolong next half hour. Thanks for joining us today. Check out our Facebook page because I have a note from the suit. Check out the Cheddar Practice on WKOK's Facebook. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Today's show brought to you by SunburyMotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, and pre-owned inventory. Check it out, and then you can buy from the comfort of your own home at SunburyMotors.com. I have a great Don Shula story for you. Shula's strict. So they go to a hotel, and the players were all up on a floor. And curfew was, I don't know, let's pick a number, midnight. Okay. And, of course, what does a coach worry about? Coach worries about players breaking curfew. I mean, do you think Max McGee was in the hotel the night before the Super Bowl won? So you know how Shula found out who missed curfew, who broke it. He gave the elevator operator a football. He said, hey, I understand there are a lot of players that are going to be using the elevator to come back in. He says, you can get autographs of all the players. He goes, really? He says, yeah. He says, so the next morning, Shula gets up early. The elevator operator's still there. He says, hey, you mind for a second if I take a look at that ball to see exactly who signed it? And he knew exactly who missed curfew. Now, that's clever.